350 podcast episodes. Wow. Oh, man. And what a doozy of a podcast episode this one is going to be for 350. Ooh. Here we go. What's up, world? Welcome back to Life Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and I am an inspirational speaker.
This is the good news. And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concern.
We've got to stop telling people Jesus will make it all right. Because what they assume when they hear that is that my experiences, now that I'm a Christian, will always align with my picture, my preference, and really my own. I don't want to tell you this, but we try to shape God like our own personality.
So no, that's how God communicates with me. He tells me and he affirms it. And he'll tell me in the course of a week or 2 weeks' time, I'll see him speaking it to me multiple times. And that's why I can come up here boldly and courageously and confidently and preach to you what I'm saying, because God has told me what he wants me to say.
Partners, I want you to bend over and look. Come on, bend down. Go. He said, I'm still able to harvest my own crop. Stay right there. Potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it! You name it!
Father, we ask that you help us today. We want to really live, God. We want to live a long and happy life, God. And we admit and acknowledge even before we begin that sometimes we chase happiness in only temporal things. And because they're temporal, that's why it's so fleeting. Because they don't last. And so God, help us today to really understand, to be reminded of how we can live, really live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, most of you probably here today would profess to be a believer in Christ. And you've got new life. And I believe that, of course, all of us are in various places in our spiritual development and growth. Some of us perhaps are a little better at being faithful in our relationship with God, and we nurture it a little more. Maybe some of you are in a period of time in life where you feel a little spiritually dry. We're all over the place spiritually. But as I thought through this message today, I had to acknowledge even for myself that sometimes I let life crowd God out of my life.
Hello there. What's up? My name is Nate, and you're listening to Life Tips Podcast. Welcome. Relationship improvement with advice and tips for becoming a better you. On this show, each episode is unique to what you're going through, and it doesn't matter your youth or gender. Everyone can benefit.
Really?
You see, the reality is that nobody is perfect. There's always going to be downfall with rising, and there's something to improve upon every single day.
Sure is.
So if you want to make changes in your life, then follow along, and I can help you master yesterday's mistakes to create a better tomorrow. Let's get started.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
You. Are you new to Life Tips? Well, then, welcome aboard. Do me a favor and hit that follow button, subscribe button, however it's worded, and follow the show so that you'll be notified every time there's a new episode. You'll join the numerous amounts of people who download the show each day and add it to their everyday lives. Now, if you're a current or faithful listener of the show who has been with us since day one, welcome back. I hope to continue leading you in the right direction, and I hope that you continue to enjoy the show as per usual. Thank you so much. This has been Nate, the host of Life Tips Podcast, just greeting you, and yeah, all right then, let's get started. What's up, world? Welcome back to Life Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and I am an inspirational speaker. Really quickly, before we start the show, I just wanted you to know that your support means everything, not just monetarily, but also your words. So here's what I want you to do for me. I want you to go on to Apple, find Life Tips Podcast, and write a review, and also leave a 5-star rating, because you know I'm trying to get up there with the top dogs in the Apple podcast world. Same thing with Spotify and Google. Go look us up on those platforms too. Blow us up and let people know how important listening to Life Tips Podcast means to you. That way, the higher up we go, the more downloads we'll get from the virtual community. So yeah, y'all, that's all I wanted to say. Let's get into the episode. So at first this podcast episode was going to be covering the differences between the black church, white church, multicultural church, and the African church. But seeing as African church is no longer a part of the plan, and I've chosen my church home, it's only right to talk about the three lanes of church that I've lived through on a consistent basis. Now, I have experienced the African church before, full-fledged for almost an entire month. But I'm not counting that at all. And so I'm just going to talk about the three areas of church that I have the most experience with in this podcast episode. But make no mistake, this podcast episode is not going to be sweet, it's not going to be pretty, and it's not going to be kind. Oh, I'm going to dive in deep, and it's going to get extremely personal. So get ready, grab your popcorn, because we're about to go in. And while I'm not going to talk about these churches in any specific way, I am going to give you the accurate history. So here we go. Woodstream. Life. Garment of Praise / Ascend. Living Hope. That is the full order of churches that I have been a member of since I was born. Parents Church, Woodstream. 17 years. After that, 6 years at Life Church. After that, 6 years at Ascend. From when they were Garment of Praise Ministries, and then transitioning to Ascend. And then after that, here we are now at Living Hope Church. So that's a black church, a multicultural church, and then another multicultural church with ties to AME, Pentecostal, and all that, where you have the Shirley Caesar type messages, where the preacher preaches with the accompaniment of an organ or a keyboard. That's also the black church. Collars and bishops and apostles and the whole nine yards. And then you have another multicultural church . The interesting thing about these two multicultural churches, Life Church and Living Hope, is that the Life Church that I was a part of isn't the Life Church that is in existence now. That Life Church era is gone. The Life Church that exists now is thriving. But when I was at Life Church from 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, when I was at Life Church, I got to experience something amazing. Expository preaching from a white guy that went to Bible college, that taught at Bible college, and became a pastor straight out of that. And even at my current church, it's a white guy who's the lead pastor who went to seminary, and his messages are crazy stupid fire. I'll even throw in my old stomping grounds at Liberty University. Under the leadership of Pastor Jonathan Falwell. Thomas Road Baptist Church. And that's a predominantly all-white church. Why am I mentioning all of this? Because all this information ties into the music you heard and the messages clips that you heard to start off this podcast episode. We're talking about church. We're talking about American church, the local church. We're not talking about the church, the global church, the body, because that's the reality of the situation, is that if you are a believer in Christ, we are the church. We're the hands and feet of God. But the institutionalized version of church that we've come to know and experience by going into buildings and worshiping on Sundays and going to Bible study during the week, that version of church is what we call the local church. It's a church in the area that you live in that's local. But depending upon where you live in America, church looks different. That's why we're discussing the black church versus multicultural versus white church and all the little tendencies and technicalities and nuances that go along with it. Because I've been in almost every form and fashion of American church, and I've got some thoughts, and I want to share them with you today. So let's get started. The first and most important thing that it's absolutely key to address right now is that if you believe in Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and you have given your life to the Lord, you are a Christ follower. You are saved once and for all in the Book of Life. Can't lose your salvation, etc., etc. When you leave this earth, you will be in the presence of God. That's the first thing. But the second thing that we have to address is even more important. It's vital as all get out to be in a church if you are a Christ follower. If you're not in a church, you're not wrong. You're still loved by God if you don't have a church home. But if you're just out here with no church home, you're making a huge mistake because you're not growing spiritually. So, if you don't remember anything else in this podcast episode, remember these two life tips. One, a relationship with Jesus is the most important. And number two, being a part of a church home, a local church body, and being actively involved, whether that's showing up on Sundays and later in the week for Bible study or life group, or whether that's full involvement and actually being in ministries and doing life with people in addition to Sunday and during the week, whichever one you choose, choose. Those are the top two most important life tips to take away from this podcast episode. And so, like I said in the introduction, I'm not going to talk about any church specifically that I named, but what I am going to talk about are the little nuances and things that I've come to learn from church. How I feel about it, and why I chose what I chose for my future. Let's first start off by talking about this. In the Americanized version of church that we know today, there are two types of churches to start off with, and that simply has to do with numbers. There are mega churches and smaller churches. Mega churches consist of thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. And you can tell it's a mega church because the building is pretty. The land is pretty. And it's thousands upon thousands of people. And when you get inside, the service is crystal clear. The best of the best audio and picture, etc., etc. The church employs people, and they're able to pay them. That's pretty much how you can tell it's a megachurch. Just those little itty-bitty things. Not to mention that everybody in the megachurch would be giving $1,000 in tithes and offering every Sunday. That's just a rough estimated number, but literally, everybody in the megachurch, $1,000 every single time, tithes and offering. Let's do a little bit of math. This is going to be a long podcast episode, I'm just warning you. So let's say that your megachurch has 5,000 people. 5,000 people. Cool. So, generally, there's about 4 Sundays in a month, with the exception of Sundays where there's 5 Sundays. So if you have 5,000 people and everyone is giving $1,000, that's 5,000 people times 1,000. That's 5. Wow. Hold on a second. That's literally 5 million dollars in tithes and offerings. Multiply that times 12 months in a year, and that comes out to 60 million dollars a year. If your church brings in $60 million a year, that's a lot of money. That's enough to keep your church running for real, for real. Next up is small church. Small church. Let's see. What number are we going to go with for a small church? Let's say 200 people. So if your church is small and your church has 200 people in it, each person gives, let's say, $50. 200 times 50 is 10,000. So that's $10,000 per person. So that's $50 from all 200 people. That's $10,000 to your church. $10,000 times 12, that's $120,000 going to your church. Now, these are just estimates. They're not real numbers. But just to give you an idea of tithes and offerings, the tithes and offerings given at a mega church versus a smaller church is night and day. Absolutely night and day. So, yeah. Whereas you can tell a mega church by all this stuff, a smaller church normally will have a decent building with decent land. And then when you walk in, it's good sound quality and picture and all that other stuff. But normally, with smaller churches, they don't stop where they are. They always continue to grow. And normally with smaller churches, they don't really care about blowing up and being mega churches and being famous and having security guards everywhere, and they don't care about that. They're just happy to be where they're at and grow. So that's the first thing I wanted to talk about, is the difference in sizes. But we're not done. Oh, no. We gonna keep going. This is just the beginning. Dating. They say the church is a great place to meet girls. That's hit or miss. That's hit or miss. Mega church. I would say yeah, because it's a bunch of girls in a mega church. You got plenty of options there. Smaller church, you have to work a little bit more for it, but it's possible. Depending upon where you go. Bonding with brothers. Depends on where you go. The point is, if you're a single and your life is based around the local church, you're going to want friendship. If you're a dude, you're going to want brotherhood. If you're a woman, you're going to want sisterhood. And then if you're a man or a woman, regardless, you're going to want to date, to find love, to marry and bear children.
I'm familiar with two prominent mega churches in my area, and one of them in particular, I've been hurt before. Some of the single women at the church, and I chose not to go back. In terms of considering said megachurch as a potential home. Smaller churches. I remember my second church took a minute to get invited to DC to hang out with one of the most popular girls at the church. And the moment it finally happened, she dipped, moved away. And of course, at my last church, I nearly dated my pastor's daughter. But after the pandemic, we didn't pick things back up where we left off. And then when you tack on the numerous amounts of people I met in the black church last year, including Born Again and High Calling, tack that on, and it's just like, bruh. The church is not it. It's only it in this arena called dating. If there's one word that exists between the two of you, investment. And not just investment, but specifically mutual investment. Without that, you got nothing. The church is definitely not the place. You might as well just go meet somebody in the club. Because sadly, in this specific arena, when it comes to the church, you got the populars who prefer the populars. You got the main people that everybody wants to be around, that have preferences, and those preferences aren't you. And those rare occasions where you think you meet someone that's different, turns out to be a complete waste of time. Because you were never thought of to be worth it. So I wanted to add this in here, talking about the church, because this is probably one of the most painful, difficult, gut-wrenching parts of growing up in church that I've ever had to experience. I do hope it changes for the future, seeing that I found my church home for now, for the next several years. But I just wanted to let you guys know, it's not easy. And just because you grow up in church doesn't mean the church is going to help you grow. Not in that arena. It's all fine and dandy to desire marriage. But if your church ain't helping you in that arena, you might as well go meet somebody at the club. I'm just being honest. The main core piece of this podcast episode when it comes to church that I want to dive into for real is community. In most God-fearing homes where church and Bible study attendance is made key, 9 times out of 10, when you reach the age of 18 and you're able to do what you want to do, you're no longer obligated to go to said church with your family. You can pick your own place. And for me, I had a very unique experience when I left my birth church.
From TV.
When I left my birth church, I ended up going to Liberty University. So I got hip to Thomas Road Baptist Church, and I got hip to the white church right off the bat. And then later on in life, I got hip to multicultural, Pentecostal, AME, and all the other variants of church. But the one thing that I was looking for in all of my church adventures past 18 was community, in addition to worship and the word. Worship and the word being the main two things at the top, because you gotta go get some time in with God somehow, and you can spend the most time with God through worship
and through being in the Word for yourself. But hearing a message from someone else is extremely helpful. Which is why the preaching part of church is key. Which is why I call it worship and the Word, the message. And it matters who delivers that message, and it matters what style of delivery they're using to convey that message. And it also matters that you take notes during the message. But outside of that, which is the main thing, the secondary reason to choose a church home is for community. And I didn't really have legitimate community outside of the current church I'm at now and Liberty University. There was a little smidget of community at Life Church, but it died out between the years of 2017 and 2018. There was a smidget of community at GOP/Ascend, but surface level is all it amounted to beyond the first family. It was cool with the pastors and the family at both my second and my third church, Life and GOP/Ascend. Kind of had a similar life there, where I spent a lot of time with the pastors and their family. And while I tried to get close to the rest of the community in the church, it only worked with a few people. It didn't work with everybody. And it was mostly the young adult crowd that I was trying to build and develop with. Build what? Well, let's take a look at my current church, Living Hope. We've got a young adult ministry. Cool. Check. The young adult ministry meets on Sunday nights. And there is a blue iMessage group chat for the young adult ministry. What? Wow! Pew. Mind blown. Pew. Literally, this group chat blows up every day. That's not Sunday, which makes you feel more connected. Oh, and not to mention that the guys play video games at the church every month. Mind blown again. Pew. Then there's the church itself. We have monthly church gatherings together. Not just Sunday morning, but after service, everyone stays for about 45 minutes to an hour after service ends just to chat and talk. And then there's the times where throughout the year, the church will have community day. We call it Sunday Fun Day. And then we will have little moments where we get together for celebrations, parties, different things like that that the church officially puts on for fun and socializing. And again, this is beyond the worship and beyond the preaching of the word. That's incredible. I got to experience that a little bit at Life Church until 2017, 2018. I got to experience a little bit of that at GOP/Ascend. But what didn't exist at any of those churches, and even my parents' church growing up, what didn't exist was community. Real community. The type of community where we go out to eat. And I'm not talking in group settings. No. Group settings, that existed in all the churches. I'm specifically talking about one-on-one, one-on-two. So, one-on-two is when you're friends with a married couple and you go out with the husband and the wife. One-on-one is where you hang out with a fellow young person from your church during the week, after work. Didn't exist. Didn't exist. And there were times where I was looking for that, and I nearly found it, but I nearly didn't find it. When the pandemic came, it ruptured the whole world. And so working our way back in 2021, I really wanted to get connected to young people. But because it wasn't really there at the time with my home church, I decided to look for it in other churches. So I would keep my loyalty to my home church, but socialize with other church ministries, young adults. From there, I ended up finding a bond with High Calling and Born Again Ministries. Still connected to them to this day. I'll occasionally pop up and hang out with these amazing people. Occasionally. But I chose not to park at those churches because community didn't exist. sure it existed in group form. But that's not enough. Not for me. Not for where I am in life, because if you have forgotten by now, I did not go to public or private school growing up. Which means I had to develop my own way of making friends. I had to develop my own way of making best friends. I had to develop my own way of navigating the dating world. And it worked. But it would have been helpful if the Black church had reached out its hand and given me some life support. So many of the young ladies that I met last year came from the church, specifically the Black church. Mega churches. And it's a reason why I choose not to park myself at mega churches. It's because it's too many people. And you gotta work 10 times harder just to get close to the type of community that I describe. At a smaller church, you don't have to worry about that. It just depends on which church you go to. Any church body where all you do is show up for Sunday and during the week Bible study and group stuff. But beyond group stuff, there's nothing. That is a recipe for disaster in the life of a Christ follower. Whatever church you decide to go to, make sure that community exists. Get yourself a pastor, Al, like I've got, where he and his wife are connected to me, invest in me, and we spend time together throughout the weeks and months that pass. Get yourself a young adult ministry where there's a massive blue text message group that you can put a message in wherever you feel like it. and someone will respond back. And then a conversation will ensue for a couple of hours, and everyone's phones are blowing up. Which makes it even more dope when you show up in person the following Sunday. Because it's really like, oh, we texted in the group chat yesterday. How you doing? Make sure that you have a church that has community events. Days where, right after church, we stick around for 2-3 hours. It's a bunch of food, drinks, sodas, root beer. And we just hang out and have fun. Serving the community. Feeding the homeless. Giving to Operation Christmas Child and organizations where you can impact the lives of people that are less fortunate. It's not all about being a mega church and writing books and interviewing on Fox 5 and all the social media followers and the verified check marks and big platforms where you can impact millions and billions. It's not all about that. But that's what church has become now. And it sucks that the black church in the DMV is heavily consumed with being famous. Whereas if you look at the multiculturals and the white churches, there's a few outliers. Joel Osteen. Ugh, can't stand that guy. There's a few outliers, but if ever it's going to grow to that level, try to be like Billy Graham when he was alive. Now his organization is being shepherded by his brother and his family. Seeing that Billy Graham is in heaven. But you get my point. If you're a multicultural or a white church and you want to get to that level, take the Billy Graham route. You'll get there eventually. Or the Liberty University route. I'm just saying. But for the most part, multicultural churches and white churches, they just like where they are. And if they grow big, cool. If they stay where they are, cool. It's not about the fame for them. It's about the impact. So with every church up till now, the story has been the same. ...17 years at one church...
finally was able to pick the church I wanted to go to. Everybody dipped. It was time for a change. Went to a multicultural church. Stayed there till 2018. The young adults didn't just dip from the church. Pastor dipped. Took his wife with him. And the church let go of my aunt, who was a key figure in that era of Life Church. A very key figure, she and her husband. Then after that, thanks to the young adults, what happened with my aunt, pastor leaving, I had to dip again. Found a really great ministry. Local, nearby. Took a minute, but I joined them. And I stepped into a world that I did not know about. Accompaniment with the preaching. Gotta have keyboards and organs. Again, the collars and the endless titles of people and the organizations and it was fun, but it was a lot. It's trying to keep up with everything. Ugh. That was a lot. It was fun, but that was a lot. And I got close. I got close to having real community. Close. I even got close to dating one of the pastor's daughters. But after 6 years, it was just time. So I dipped. What was I looking for in all those churches when it came to community? Post my parents' church. I was looking for what I have right now. But I was looking for it among my own age group. It's cool to hang out with married people, but you can't really relate to married people because they're married and you're not. Gotta hang out with your own kind. And you know what's really sad? What's really sad is that what I have right now in my current church the entire time that I was a part of these other ministries after my time at my parents' church ended, I had to look for all this outside of the church. So all the best friends that I have now, I met all of them between 2013 and 2023. So in 11 years, I hung out with non-church people Monday through Friday, and then spent my weekends with church people. So the non-church people, the non-Christians, they were doing what my current church does now. Group chats, text messages, calls, FaceTime. You want to hang out after work? Come celebrate my birthday with me. Group stuff. It was all mixed together. It wasn't just one thing. It was mixed together. And I felt like, okay, I almost made it. And yeah, I'll throw Born Again Ministries and High Calling in there too. That's what I was really looking for. And it took 11 years to find it. So when you combine the group chat Monday through Friday and Saturday, when you combine church in the morning with young adult ministry gatherings Sunday night, when you combine that with young adult group activities throughout the year, when you combine that with church-wide group activities throughout the year, when you combine that with getting together with my bro and getting together with my bro and his wife together, when you combine that with the fact that it's an 8-year-old church, still young, still growing, and when you combine that with the reality that people there who are single, young, and amazing want to do life with you, when you combine that with an entire group of dudes that loves playing video games and we just get together every month to do just that for 4 hours, combine that with Starbucks, Dave and Buster's, the movies, DC, Virginia, and all the places that you can go with a group of singles or with a single. All of that makes for what the church should be and needs to be. Community at its finest.
Wait, social media. Don't go. Gotta give you our social media.
You can follow us on social media on X at Life Tips Podcast, at Life Tips Podcast for Facebook, at Spoken Life Tips on Facebook and on Instagram. On Threads, you can follow me there at Nate_the_speaker, as well as on Instagram. At Spoken Life Tips on Instagram and Threads as well. At @auth_gen_person on Twitter. That's @auth_gen_person on Twitter. At Life Tips Podcast, of course, on X/Twitter. And on Facebook as well. You can also follow me on TikTok if you want to. Message me for my TikTok information as well. Lots of social media, lots of changes, but still the same engagement. All right, then. That's the end of this podcast episode. Look forward to seeing you next week.